God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. Reed's not good and God's not dead. Don't care what Nietzsche or Ayn Rand said. The blood of every man is red, and I'm not going to war. They justify all the things they do with convoluted logic, and waves still pound upon the sand, and will when they're gone. God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising.
You can build a. It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let us take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Welcome to Dog Poet Transmitting and the Saucer Pod. Tonight we are traveling, rather than hovering, through the dimensional planes of various lokas. Lokas are places you go when you leave this place, depending on how you behaved while you were here. There are some very pleasant places and some very unpleasant places. Your level of awareness is what you earned as a result of your thoughts, words, and actions, and that awareness is your passport to whatever loka is commensurate with your thoughts, words, and actions. There's all kinds of interconnectedness at work over the long haul. Many people might be unaware that it is said eating meat provides you with a visit to one of the hell planets. I wouldn't know about this. I'm not disputing or affirming it. I'm just saying this has been written and said. Certainly mistreatment of animals is a serious crime. It is a serious crime because it is an offense upon life forms below your own. In these times, there is so much crime being committed. Much of what goes on isn't even considered a crime, but in the cosmic sense it is. For instance, the practice of self-interest at the expense of your fellows is a spiritual crime. In the business world, it is considered smart practice to not only look out for number one, by all means necessary, but destroying your competition gives you bonus points. There are many crimes in human relationships, but hey, so long as you don't get caught, so what? There are people that argue that they have basic needs. These are those people. Personally, I've got nothing against people having sex with many, many people. It really depends on what other arrangements they have and what their motivation is. The reason I've got nothing against it is that it's none of my business. I don't know what a person's karma is. I'm in no position to judge many things. I only know how they apply to me, if that. On the other hand, egregious offenses against humanity and other life forms are things to comment on, like we do at the blogs, especially when the media explains horrific behavior as necessary and paints the offenders as defenders of something they stole in the first place, and when they are defending against acts which they committed themselves in order to justify brutal responses on people who had nothing at all to do with it. It's that time of the season in the Kali Yuga when the very worst of us show up. I'm hoping the best of us are around too. You would think, for the purpose of balance, that they must be. Then again, everything is out of balance, so your guess is as good as mine. However, we are in a movie, and this one appears to be a drama and a thriller with comedic undertones. As with many thrillers, the good guys have their shining hour in the final reel. Maybe it's like that. One can only hope. Something I like to remind myself of is that though uncertainty may loom and we may live in troubled times, my situation is pretty calm and steady, and I imagine it is so for many another. It could be that all this insanity has little to do with us, but only to do with those who are themselves insane and all the multivariate rainbow hues that madness comes in. It could be that so many of the things we hear about are only relevant to the locations they happened in and the people they happened to. It could be that all of what is being predicted, and which more or less resembles what's predicted, which is probably why they predicted it, actually turns out radically different than the signs and portents indicated. Like I've said, it's altogether possible that flying saucers could appear in the sky, real ones, not holographic projections by the government owned by the bankers. It's altogether possible that the Avatar might descend from the heavens. The real Avatar, not a government hologram financed by bankers. My theory is that the Avatar will be appearing in the collective human heart, where it is welcome, that is. It could well show up simultaneously all over the earth. They are pictured in the sky in multiple instances, which is no real problem for an Avatar, because Avatars are God, and nothing is outside the realm of possibility when it comes to Avatars. It's also altogether possible that something invisible might sweep around the planet and instantly transform all of humanity in one fashion or another, depending on what fashion they happen to be in when the Transformer comes around. There's no telling what might happen. I like to keep that in mind as I face each day of relative sameness, where the palette of life all too often is only shades of gray because the painter is a shadow. Of course, that's just appearances, and I have to remind myself of that. Yes, appearances is a big deal. You see, it's there all the time. They're all there all the time, and so is the mindset we identify them with. Of course, the shadow knows this, so it paints things in a way other than what they truly are, and that leaves us in the position, not all of us, but a lot of us, of being subliminally worked. It's one of those things that has been going on for so long that people hardly register its existence anymore. It acts on them without their knowledge, and certainly without their permission. Did I say it's been going on for a long time? It has to be one of the most difficult things in life to understand why everything is going on in the fashion that it is. It's against every law of human interaction. That is, if there were laws of human interaction, but there aren't. There may be rules. Still, I'm sure it's against those too. Yes, it's hard to figure out. The relentless march of injustice, like it was a holiday parade. That's how proud they are of it. They march along committing injustice right and left, and since no one stops them, it's obvious to them that it's perfectly all right to do it. Terrible things are happening to large amounts of people, and you have to wonder, are these things happening for real or only happening in their minds? What I mean is this an expression of some kind of karma of consciousness where people think things into being because they have such a working connection with them that they just happen? I'm starting to think that the dream zone, that's the location that all the dreams happen in, is composed of countless magnets, and what happens is that whenever someone enters into the dream zone, their basic combination of elements attracts specific magnets from the warp and woof, and the interplay automatically constructs whatever dreamscapes are suitable to the player so engaged. Or it could be that the magnets are summoned to the necessary location and then go into activation. Whatever the case may be, what develops out of all that is the acting out of all karma related to that series of progressions. Once that's done, the magnetism, once again, goes into action, and yet one more series of circumstances comes about. There doesn't seem to be anything that the individual players can do about it, nor do they seem compelled to want to do anything about any of it. For some reason, at some point, people break free of this dynamic and become aware of things outside the dream zone. Depending on their level of awareness, it may be no more than a dim sensing of otherness, or the person may have a certain amount of visual and audio to accompany it. One thing for sure, the perception of otherness increases if the person engaged continues to probe into the meaning of whatever it is they have encountered. Failing, becoming aware of otherness in the first place, just seems I'm guessing here, but it seems that everyone else bumbles around through a twisted hall of mirrors, becoming increasingly ever more and more disoriented until they run out of gas and collapse into a crumble of decrepitude. Just how it looks from the other side here in the land of otherness. Personally, I've been chasing otherness all my life. At first, it was a matter of self-defense because I was in a dangerous and toxic environment, and I had no choice but to go into otherness. This resulted later on in my being diagnosed as a schizophrenic. But by that time, I had figured out that it was a psychological asset to be viewed as schizophrenic, and even more so, to have a controlled schizophrenic capacity. Let me explain myself. Let's see. Do I give them version 1, version 2, version 3? You know, I find the best way to operate is to just go out on a limb here and tell you the truth. Because you don't have to remember anything, because you already do remember. Or I do. Anyway, what is called schizophrenia by those who are denied the ability to utilize it is nothing more than a hole in the fence. You heard me right. It's a hole in your fence. Here's the deal. Most people have a defensive surround fencing inside their heads, which contains their awareness and their impulses within a particular zone of confinement. In my case, in cases similar, not all cases, because there are real schizophrenics out there who have no command over the process, they go out through the fences and don't know how to get back, or worse, other things come in through the hole up from the other side, and they become subjugated by these entities. Now, if you have control of this state, and all that takes is an awareness of what it really is, you can go in and out as you please, and you can also access inspiration and all matter of artistic and spiritual goodies once you're able to identify what they are, and identifying what they are is also connected to your ability to put an appropriate value on these things. If you don't know what they're worth, you can hardly know what they are. Does that compute? I hope so. So where was I? I'm talking about all those magnetized souls in the dream zone. It's not just a dream zone. It's a death zone, too. But before it becomes a zone of death, it becomes a zone of suffering with an atmosphere of confusion. And one of the reasons there is a great deal of confusion is that people are unable to find what they're looking for, nor do they know what that is. They find all kinds of things in place of what they're looking for, and they're pretty sure that that is what they were looking for. At least they are in the beginning. But inevitably, they discover it was not what they were looking for. This goes on and on until they are no longer capable of looking anymore at all, and then they are sent to a holding zone for certain adjustments and preparations prior to re-entry. Once here again, they proceed to go looking for what it is they think they want, and most of the whole time, the process repeats itself. Well, to close this section out, let's just say it's much better to be in otherness, because what you're looking for is now looking for you. Of course, what you're looking for could find you quite quickly. In fact, it has found you long ago, even before you started looking. But in order for you to connect up with things, to connect up with the thing you were really after, you have to cut your ties to everything that is holding you in that portion of otherness, where you can't really see the thing, because the thing you really want is in another part of the otherness. It's right next to you, actually, but your perception of it is that it is much further away than it really is. And you have to adjust your manner of perceiving it. It is as if you were using a telescope, but you were holding it from the wrong end. And this matches up with the way the dream zone operates. And sadly, yes, sadly, quite some amount of the dream zone leaks into otherness at the borders between the two places. You have to get further into otherness until no portion of the dream zone is influencing your stay there. In the dream zone, everything is upside down and backwards from how it is in otherness. It's a bit of an adjustment. If you get there through yoga or the hermetic sciences, it's usually a progressive affair and things dawn on you at an acceptable and workable rate. You have time to adjust to the demands of your new awareness, the same way your muscles adjust to the practice of martial art, and then muscle memory comes into the act as well, and you act almost instinctively with movements and things. If you get there through cosmic shock or psychedelics, it can often be too much too soon, and many people find this more than a little difficult, and a surprising amount of them go mad because of what they see there. I had to be very careful. I found out taking people into otherness years ago because if they tripped with me, things would happen to them, similar to what happened to me, but they didn't have the same reaction. And so I learned as quickly as I possibly could to be wary of who I associated with in those areas. See, I was fortunate. I had already gone mad. None of it was all that intimidating for me, or freakish or strange. I had that duck to water thing. And this is why we should always remember that the changes we get put through early in life or at any point are for our own benefit, no matter how it may look at the time. There is always a very, very good reason, and our struggles can be a marvel if we rightly understand them as such. You have to know that it all ends somewhere, and that it all works out well for those who are committed to a higher awareness. In order to know what you are facing, you have only to look at whatever it is you have been giving your time to every day. You have only to consider what you value and treasure, because that is where you are going to wind up. What you are going to wind up with, in a manner of speaking. Many people are on this path. They have only a partial acceptance of the reality of what they are approaching, or, and this is unfortunate, some portion, a larger portion than we may wish, are working it for their own advantage, because they only dimly suspect anything is there, and it doesn't seem to be interfering with what they're up to, so nudge, nudge, wink, wink. They just go on their merry way until it turns not so merry, because little did they know they were being allowed to get away with their monkey business for the purpose of demonstration. Well, my friends, I sense that the time is arriving, as it always does, when I have to say that we have come to the end of another broadcast, and that I'll see you next week, if there is one. You do know that one day there won't be a next one, right? Something to think about. Okay, then. It is my hope and prayer that all of you will come under the divine protection in these troubled times and have the knowledge and conversation of your invisible friends, because you do have them. That said, greetings, Lord Ganesh. Hare Krishna. Much gratitude, Lady Nature and Green Tara. La ilaha il alahu. Oh, Mami Taba. Hail, Lord Jesus Christ. And carry on, Baha'u'llah. Aloha and Aru.
God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. God's not dead, merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSync Radio Network of Stations.